Full Service Radio.
I'm trying to remember what even happens in the original Twins.
You are the genetic slop. I remember that line. That's what Danny DeVito was told towards the end of it, that he was the genetic slop. Many times I confuse the opening scene of Twins with Mermaid with Daryl Hannah. Those are both important movies in my life. They both
and Mannequin. Yeah, they all kind of happen at the same time. Yeah. Oh, damn it. Welcome to the Sun Cinema Podcast, a weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only artsy-fartsy, privately owned art house cinema. This is Jason's line. You know, I never really even pay attention to what this intro is until I'm reading it when Jason's not here, which he isn't today, everybody.
Yeah.
All of you. Jason's not here.
All three of you listening.
So I'm Ryan. David's here.
I'm David.
We don't have Jason, but we have a special guest. Hey!
Oh, hi! I'm Tarek.
This is Tarek.
Yeah,
he's our.
We still have. Yeah, woo! There's no one really here clapping.
Yeah,
looked a pretty good effect there. Though. Yeah, so not like home.
Tarek's curator at Suns, bartender everywhere, DJ everywhere.
Sometimes, yeah.
Often,
yeah.
I suppose
collector of things.
Collector of things. I have a lot of things that I collect.
Weird things. Painter, right?
I don't paint anymore. I only make dog-related memes.
Okay.
Memes related to my dog specifically.
So, fair enough.
Yeah, that's all I really do. That's the only sort of real artistic thing I do outside of just play trap every once in a while.
Buttons. Buttons a dog, and you make pins.
Yeah, I make buttons. I have. I guess I have goals. If that's it. Talking about my dog and making buttons. I only really started making buttons because my dog is named Buttons, and it's really like the only progression I have.
Well, I've got a few of them from like the movies.
Oh yeah, I would make them for the screenings I would do.
Yeah, what are some of the highlights of those pins? I like this when movie houses do these like pins for the movies.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Brother from Another Planet button I made.
That one's great.
I made a couple for Ralph Bashy's Coonskin screening.
Oh, I didn't see this.
I think there might be a couple left at the.
Yeah, I think there are.
I think there are a couple in the bag. There's like two.
Oh, in the bag.
In the bag with the other buttons.
Okay, yeah.
The buttons bag we have behind the bar.
Yeah. So at Sun Cinema, behind the bar,
there's a bag. You know,
there's a
buttons.
Bag of buttons. Sharp,
sharp metal things, specifically only found at Suns.
There's so much sharp stuff underneath the damn. David was gone this weekend.
I know.
So I got the play bartender.
Yeah. Did you find that there? I mean, it's not my bag of weed, but there is a bag of weed.
There's and it poppers.
It doesn't work anymore. I tried smoking it. That weed is bad. It's gone. It doesn't work. It just like turned to powder in my hand. I had to like rub it in my gums.
There's like gummies all over there. There's probably still some crab soup somewhere.
There's probably still some crab soup. I'd imagine there's a cookie or two lying back there. There's definitely weird bottles of liquor that, I mean, I'm not a coctologist, so sometimes I'll just do shots of that just to see what it tastes
see what
like.
It is.
Yeah, see what it is. And most of the times it tastes like melted jelly beans, but like not in like a cool way. Not like in a way like, ooh, right, I'm a kid. Like, ouch, this stinks and burns.
So that was like the shit that we were, so we showed Clueless on Saturday. And I was like, you know, I'm going to make some cocktails. Denise was in on Friday. She works here at the line, knows how to actually make cocktails.
She's
but
a coctologist.
She's a good coctologist, but she was completely up for letting me just make up dumb shit and telling me, like, yeah, do that. So we made up drinks for Clueless. One was like a virgin who can't drive, which was just like a Shirley Temple with Aperol and a cherry.
That's not bad. Yeah,
well, sure, because it tastes like candy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the drinks went... They were people thought they were funny. They didn't think they were good.
Is it improper for me as a bartender at your establishment to laugh at people when they ask me to make them cocktails.
Oh, yeah, that's totally fine.
Because I've done that a few times.
Yeah. I think that's the way that it goes.
I get an old-fashioned and, like, laugh. No. No, you can't. You want, like, a PBR? I don't even think we have ice.
Yeah. Whiskey soda. That's about as fancy
whiskey
as soda. I'll
whiskey
get.
Tonic if I haven't been paying attention to getting soda. America's best bartender. I'm America's best bartender, statistically speaking, just so we're on the same page. I worked at two different of America's best bars. So if you know anything about math and basic numbers... I am one of America's best bartenders.
I think one description of like going to maybe Showtime or somewhere or anywhere, the Black Cat, I think Dave Clifford one time was like, well, because Tarek works at every bar and doesn't believe in commerce, he's the best bartender.
Yeah, right on. Please don't say that out loud.
Well, I only meant for Sons.
Ah, yeah, there we go. No, I charge people twice sometimes at Sons because they had that little iPad and everyone believes Apple.
Yeah.
If they order one PBR, hey, listen, man, scroll. It says $46.
All right. Well, when you think about it with the square charge and the iPad, it's a 46, man. And you saw a movie. It's fine.
Yeah, I know, right? Come on. It's art. You're paying for this. So you both have computers in front of me. I noticed that, so I feel really bad.
You shouldn't have one. We just don't have Jason, so we jotted some stuff down so we can kind of...
I have like notes.
We didn't
whatever.
Even our notes are nothing. It literally is. I copy and pasted Jason's intro so I could say it. I said, "Let's talk last week and the coming week." I'm going to give everyone a preview of what the show's going to be. Let's
like
talk last week and coming week. Break. We'll have a break at some point. Part two.
Spoiler alert.
What does Pharaoh Hawk want to show?
Yeah, like
cool soundtracks? Question mark.
Okay. Okay.
And then a break, and then part three.
I thought you were asking me a question.
Well, we will. This is a preview. Part three: favorite parents away movies, which you thought meant like when your parents are away, what do you watch?
Yeah.
Which we could talk that, or we could talk about movies when parents are missing, which is like every Disney movie. So that's all I got. So that's the whole. That's all that's on the computer right now.
Sounds great.
But let's maybe talk about last week. If anyone, were you at any of the shows?
I was not. We, what did we do last week? Mary and I, I didn't have any days off really. I had one day off and we did like drugs, I guess.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
Sounds
David,
like, yeah.
How were the screenings you were at?
So the Giovanna Chesler experimental shorts was awesome. So she's I think she's the head of the film program at, Mason and she
George
did,
Mason.
George Mason. Yeah. It's a school. She did three shorts. They were all experimental docs, and they were all very interesting and thoughtful and creative. They were all like not synced. They were old 16mm and 8mm prints that were transferred to digital. So none of the audio and maybe some of it is, but most of the audio and video is not synced up.
Huh.
So it's a lot of like you have like people talking and then you have like cool montage and like cool. experimental shots. One was all about the period, like menstruation. That was
okay.
50 minutes. It was interesting.
And we're totally qualified to continue that conversation.
Right.
Well,
so that was cool.
Yeah. Well, the next day you said that Giovanna was actually kind of a fan of some of the stuff we were trying to show.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday.
Totally.
Which was, we did a night called Priestess. It was High Priestess.
Yeah.
Maya Deren and other kind of like avant-garde filmmakers.
Okay.
All short stuff.
I thought that night was really killer.
I really appreciated like a lot of the programming this month comprises of like a lot of shorts. Mm-hmm. I've seen that a few things listed that I was actually really into. Thanks again for letting me sneak one in. I think that I think this month is like is the months at the movie house have been getting better. I think with the programming, I've also noticed that just even some of the screenings I do that I don't even think people will show up to. A lot of times people, especially as of late, have been showing up. And I think that this month, specifically for Women's History Month, that a lot of the screenings are doing well, and a lot of people are coming to them. A lot of people are really excited for them, and I appreciate that you guys let me show something. Like, was it 2 weeks ago?
Half baked,
that was for my birthday.
That was
a good time. But thank you for letting me sneak that in. But the idea that you're having so many women present movies this month and select and choose a calendar is nice. Is Dawn helping at all this month?
So Dawn was the connect for Giovanna.
Okay, right, cool.
And then Giovanna Chesler also produced this movie that we're showing next week called Out in the Night. It's about four lesbians who are out in New York.
New York, yeah.
And they start getting harassed by a dude, and then they fight him back, and then they get arrested and charged as a gang. Mm-hmm. And that's the controversy around that. And
so that sounds great.
So that's fun.
What year is that?
It's the last few years.
Last few years.
Okay,
yeah.
Right on, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been psyched on a lot of the work that we're showing, and we kind of got boxed into it, and we've been talking about it here, that just because there aren't a lot of Hollywood-produced big-budget movies with female directors, which has forced us to... We would have liked to show this stuff anyways. We're showing experimental quality stuff that we really like, but it's also nice that it just... Also by virtue of the fact that Hollywood just has not thrown money behind... female directors, there's just kind of better stuff directed by them, because they've done it at on lower budgets without studio input, so they're just free to make more quality movies.
I mean, my choice for my birthday has clearly been I've been a fan of this movie since I was a teenager.
Sure.
It's like early Dave Chappelle, and a lot of these comedians are very off in the in their careers and things like that. But it's also... Man, I'm trying to remember the name of the movie. I think it was last year. It was really some very big blockbuster movie. But it was the first movie since Half Baked that had a woman direct a major comedy.
Oh.
And, that was one of the biggest deals with, that movie. Is that, and then someone told me that at the beginning of last year. It's like, oh, there's a movie because it's the first time a woman's directed a major comedy since Half Baked.
Damn.
And I was like, wow, really?
I can't remember what it is.
I wish I could remember. It was... It's...
A major comedy.
Yeah, it's a major comedy.
It's a
major
comedy. It's a big film.
It's a big film, yeah. It's a big deal movie.
Rough Night.
Was it Rough Night? I don't know.
Yeah, Rough Night. First R-rated studio comedy directed by a woman in 20 years.
Yep.
Damn. Whoa.
Yep. Damn. There you go. Rough Night, yeah. I don't even know what that movie is, but that's insane. And it's probably going to gross about as much as Half Baked did when it came out.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that's that's always been kind of alarming to me when it comes to comedy especially. And I never really thought about it. And you can think of people who've produced a lot of comedies for sure. But there's not a lot of focus on comedic directors, I guess.
Oh, definitely.
I can think of dramatic directors and
it ends up being like Bridesmaids or something. Pretty funny.
Good movie.
But ends up being this is a female focus. We're targeting everything. Like, girls come out, we're doing girls night at the movie. Yeah. It's funny, which is awesome. I mean, there's definitely a place for that. But it's kind of interesting or terrible that a movie directed by a female, a woman couldn't direct a movie about guys getting high.
Or
it's like, they can handle that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's anybody can do anything, you know. It's just weird seeing that. I don't know. I can't tell you why this hasn't been more prevalent in this industry. Uh-huh. You know, and you can think of examples of. I think ultimately everybody would like to think that the industry is perfect and things have evolved so much, but we are just finding out lately, not even lately so much, that so many things are stagnant when it comes to
Absolutely.
The representation of everybody. Yeah. you know, gay directors, black directors, producers, women, any, all these other groups, and how they're cast aside or stepped upon or treated like dirt.
Yeah, know? And the justifications are totally bogus. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, well, they don't make money. It's like, well, did you try putting money behind it? Did you really even give it a chance?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, it's hard for us to make an observation about the movie going public from our little spot.
Yeah.
However, look at, you know, we did Friday. I think Friday's a killer movie, but David said, what, there's like half, there's half less full.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we do stuff like Giovanna Chesler's experimental documentaries, our night of her experimental stuff.
Even the Agnes Lee Morgan Sparta. Doc that we did.
Yeah,
Lee
Morgan. Full, yeah.
Like, that more interesting.
Like, standing room, stuff. Which is
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good that we're getting people. I'm surprised and thrilled that we're getting people in for more challenging stuff. It's making us want to do better.
I think that I also like to say, just like traveling around, I think that what the movie house is doing, what the cinema house is doing right now is extremely important in an area like DC or like any big city, where you don't even see a lot of places like this anywhere anymore. And growing up here, there were tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, being around here as a kid, my father taking me to Art House theaters was very commonplace up until my late teens.
Sure,
yeah.
Probably around the early 2000s when they all started shutting down. Uh-huh. And now you see things like Cannes and like Sundance are essentially like...
Major.
All right, so you don't go to Urban Outfitters, you go to Forever 21. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's like, all right, yeah. it's the same thing. It's kind of... I don't go to... Can I say...
Whatever.
Landmark? Yeah, can I say that? Yeah, I mean, like... I don't... Can I? And they're a big... They're a national company, I believe. Or like, I know they definitely have multiple. They're a big local one. And I think that even the movies that they show... I mean, that term independent is so marketable now.
Yeah.
An independent movie can cost $30 million to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we calling that independent? Yeah. Not by any means.
Yeah. And so it's nice to see that even these movies that didn't get exposure in the past, or even small ones that are coming out now, like the one you're going to be showing in a couple of weeks, can do this without having to... I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a very non-crude way of saying grease the palms. Like grease the palms, but not with money. With whatever. you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to like go around and convince people to show your movie through money, through power, through who you know. And that there are places where you can just contact someone. Because my girlfriend, for instance, is doing a lot of movies this month. And she just contacted you guys. And I've always told people that if you have ideas, then maybe you should just go out and contact you two.
Just email reservations at the line.
Yeah.
Tell them you want Sons to show certain movies.
Yeah.
And then get to us.
There's that guy with his dog.
Dude. Okay, so at the Line Hotel... Plug for the Line Hotel right now. There's a huge ass dog that's just been hanging out, chilling in the lobby,
like a mastiff,
making everyone feel nice.
Yeah, that dog's balls are the same size as my dog's balls, so I'm not that impressed.
Perfect. Yeah. Jack, how about we take a break?
That sounds good. We're going to listen to the Twin soundtrack because we critically discussed that at the beginning of the show. Here we go. Again, listen to the beginning of the Sun Cinema podcast this week and hear these guys review Twins, the film.
Full Service Radio.
All right, you're back. We're back. Everyone's back at the Line Hotel for the Sun Cinema podcast. Tarek as Pharaoh Hawk, you're good. You can chew. Shows a few movies a month with us. He's been doing kind of a regular series here, and he's shown everything from Coonskin to the Lee Morgan documentary to Watermelon Man, a bunch of movies that make everyone feel uncomfortable. Yeah. You would think he's willing to show anything there, but there's actually some stuff that we feel like we can't show. So let's talk about that.
All right. Let's see. One of the first movies I think I tried and I couldn't show was Just Another Girl in the IRT. I remember that being an expensive one.
Yeah. I think that one is Miramax or MGM or something.
What is this movie?
It's a movie. It's based in New York, I think. I think it's based in New York. And it's about teen pregnancy. And growing up a person of color. And the term ghetto is a very open term, but essentially in apartment living in a large congested city environment, and it's a tough watch. I do think acting wise and production wise it's a bit dated. It's a bit over dramatic.
It's 1993.
Yeah, is it early
92? Yeah, 93. Yeah.
But it's definitely a movie that I enjoy watching every once in a while. I think it's a very good sign of the times type film. But yeah, there's money associated with art, so you can't show a lot of movies. Yeah,
yeah, it's tough.
No Disney movies. I would show.
Damn, I know.
So many Disney movies.
There's like, gotta be a way around that.
Beloved was one that I really wanted to. We found out Beloved was a Disney movie.
Yeah, or Buena Vista, which is the same company.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a bunch. I mean, Roger Rabbit, isn't that also?
That'd be a double. That'd be, isn't that a two hitter? That's a two hitter. That's Warner Brothers and Disney.
Damn.
Yeah. There's lots of movies that I think, especially along those lines, children's movies, big movies, big cartoons that can. I used to talk more before and after. Now I usually only talk after the screenings. But I would love to discuss the movie beforehand. I think things like a lot of Disney movies I've seen, the Aristocats, the idea of Pocahontas.
I don't love Aristocats. I really dislike it.
I've always enjoyed racist humor, even as a child. Like I've always known that it was very racist, and I've always known that it was
like the jazz scene's great.
I've always been able to stomach stuff like that. Well, much to the chagrin of my everyone I went to school with. I love Disney movies. I love watching them. And the older I get, the more I have, the more I am aware of race and gender roles and the abuse of media and putting people in certain areas and focusing, having people focus on things a certain way, and seeing how early that starts off in certain with film.
Aristocats, for example, you get Tom Mulally, that cat or whatever his name. I mean, he's like a shit. It's like propping up this male jock stereotype.
Yeah.
Anyways,
prissy, and all the girls are really prissy.
I mean,
yeah, like. The Siamese cats, man.
Man,
Lady and the Tramp too.
Yeah,
the portrayal of Asians in Disney movies.
But this is where Roger Rabbit, I think, is like you notice a shift from those really racial stereotype Disney movies that happened in probably all movies of that time. But when we get to Roger Rabbit, they kind of like realize like, oh shit, we've been. They kind of are like commenting on how racist or bigoted all these cartoons have been.
Yeah, well, I think that's also, that movie, I think, is not necessarily the same target audience.
I see what you're saying.
It's like the,
it's more the aware idea of itself.
Yeah, and before that, you would have, it would be movies like Coonskin, for instance, would be the only time you would get commentary on. How atrocious, like, animation has been to the you know, to I guess what do you call that? I don't know.
To a non-racist society.
Yeah, to a non-racist society. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, propaganda. Yeah, it's just propaganda.
Yeah.
And it's so subtle for people when you're looking at cats rescuing baby cats.
Yeah.
But
it's like kind of slipping you these little cues all over the place.
And people joke about like the boner in Princess, Princess Mermaid, Little Mermaid.
Oh, sure.
You ever seen the boner in Little Mermaid?
I remember there's a bunch of good ones in there.
No, that boner is there.
He's got a big one?
He has a big one. The priest who marries.
Yes, the priest.
Yeah, the priest gets a giant boner,
on the ship.
Yeah, and then there's one with like sex. You see in Africa.
In the leaves. In Lion King. Yeah, the leaves spell sex.
Yeah, that's so, you know, it's so, that's so risque. You know what it is? Even more risque? Having the only movie in Africa not featuring humans, Disney. Like, you know, like, that's more of a thing for me.
Sure.
I knew how to spell sex. Sell sex. I knew how to spell sex when I was like a little kid. Yeah. Like, it's not a big deal seeing that word.
Yeah.
But it is a big deal.
Seeing Africa have no humans.
Yeah. Not ever seeing a black person in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of...
When does that start?
I'm trying to think... When did Disney... I'm trying to think of... I mean, there's lots of movies that feature animals, so I guess, but I'm trying to think of seeing a black person in a Disney movie.
Before, like, Princess and the Frog?
Yeah.
Or like,
before that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything. And there's racist depictions of, like, Latinos and Asians.
Totally.
But I think it was... I'm trying to think. There's no... Well, maybe they're probably all gone now.
Like, oh,
yeah,
the
they're probably gone. Kinda. They're probably scrubbed. Yeah,
I can see that.
I
know a lot of the, like, propaganda, anti-Japanese, Warner Brothers stuff was pretty scrubbed. Hard to find.
Yeah. They were showing a lot of that even in the 80s. I remember as a child seeing a lot of that in the 80s. Let's see. The other movie... I'm sorry. Now I'm just going off.
No, let's go for it.
Other movies that I tried showing, Sugar Hill... which is a zombie movie featuring one of Charlie's Angels.
Which era of Charlie's Angels? Like 70s?
Original, the 70s, okay.
Not Fully Loaded?
No, okay. No, not Beyonce's Charlie's Angels. which, didn't they make two of those?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw the first one. That was also one that I think we couldn't get. Some random person had the rights to it.
Probably just didn't email back. What else? Yeah. What else have we not been able to show that you want to show?
What else have we not been able to show? I mean, there's a lot of things that I'd be willing to sneak and show.
Yeah, which like, will...
Yeah, which will, yeah, no, we'll that will never, down. Never be, yeah. Never happen.
Yeah.
Like, I think for Black History Month, I wanted to show a few episodes of Rock, which is a TV show from the 90s. From the early 90s. That's the Fox TV show.
Okay.
And I just, like...
Was it good? Bad?
It was a great show.
Okay.
But it was just like, why bother, you know? Like, okay. I know it would just be too difficult.
Yeah, I'd have some hoops to watch that show.
But, yeah, it was a show based out of Baltimore. Yeah. It features Charles Dutton, who was an actor who learned how to act in prison after he was arrested. I think he killed a man in a fight.
Whoa.
He plays a garbage man.
Okay. He's like
an Archie Bunker. But he's not like a hateful racist. He's just like a stressed out city worker. But it does feature the grandfather has been in a lot of old black exploitation movies. But it's just cool it was a cool show to see essentially a non-educated, I'm doing the finger thing.
Uh-huh. Those are quotes.
Yeah. Non-educated African American who had essentially an educated family. You know, someone who was the in between Bill Cosby and, like, you know, Sanford and Son, like, okay. that family in between where, you know, he's pushing his kids
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's doing it. And, like, all, I think, all Rock...
Giving opportunity.
Yeah, he's working for that. I think all Rock ever wanted was... All he complained about was all he wanted was a detached shed. All he wanted was a detached shed, man. And here I am. I got my old man is living upstairs. My wife is nagging me. These kids need stuff. But there's an episode of Rock that I vaguely remember, and it's it was during the Clinton Bush election, and it was a call-in episode that Fox did. Fox was doing this season. I guess it was like 1992.
Yeah.
And you could call in whoever got the most calls. Rock would have voted for Bush or Clinton.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, who did you vote for?
Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could have guessed.
Yeah. Bush didn't work out for a lot of people. After that. Rest in peace.
See, we get into politics here.
Yeah, we can talk about
the nation's capital.
Rest in peace, Reagan. Yeah. Reagan's next month, right?
Yeah, so we could. We'll spoil it a little bit. We haven't.
Sorry,
let's not talk about titles. But yeah, we are going to do Reagan.
Reagan era. Yeah.
Which I think, kind of how you're talking about these little clues that are kind of programming us to get real tinfoil hat about Reagan. Like the Reagan movies. I know everyone likes to say Hollywood's all liberal, you know, but just by virtue of being in that time and what we're accepting socially, monetarily, and all these things, you see, even Ghostbusters, which is, you know, you think of this as your typical liberal Hollywood comedians making a movie, but it's all these movies are this anti-government bureaucracy, anti-government self-made heroes, and it's just a huge theme of the 80s. You know, you kind of get into these real poisonous mindset where we do have, I think, a certain nihilism of like the 60s and 70s liberation, but we're only using it for evil in the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a kind of fun thing for us to highlight and look for some anti-Reagan stuff, which I'm having trouble with finding enough of this anti-Reagan
stuff.
Like, made during the 80s. Like, there's sure there's plenty of like, punk docs.
Yeah,
but there's enough stuff that's sort of playing on the motifs of the things that he's known for.
Yeah.
Or the things that are, you know, that time politically.
Yeah.
Wall Street, for instance, is one about, you know, sort of the deregulation of everything and look at how people get rich and get become assholes.
It doesn't completely let you think that that's a bad thing.
Sure.
I think what you're also describing can be misinterpreted as a bad thing, like that dangling carrot. That self-made, you know, I don't think that Bush or Clinton really changed a lot for people. He just made them think differently.
Yeah.
I mean, those fangs of the Reagan era are going nowhere fast.
I think that's when we get to look at how where we're at now is from this.
Yeah.
Not that it's a sudden shift, but there kind of is a sudden shift there in the 80s, stupid 80s.
Yeah, you know, that are still lingering so hard for so many people. And with this current administration, you definitely see it a little bit. It's a little bit more open, but that's not to say it hasn't been going on the entire time.
Oh, definitely.
It's like Coming to America wasn't that just out of range or something? There's a lot of those movies that were just out of range of whatchamacallit, of the Reagan era. I remember looking up a few.
Is that not in the Reagan era?
There was a few things that we were looking up that were just out of reach.
Just out of Reagan.
Just out of reach of Reagan. But, you know, I mean, that's left up to interpretation, I guess. Kendrick Lamar put Reagan on his album cover like 3 years ago. The people are still talking shit about that asshole. Also, I don't want anyone to ever think that Nancy Reagan was a good person.
Yeah.
Just want to say,
just say no to Nancy.
In my jaded, don't say no to drug eyes, that I think that Nancy Reagan was way worse than Ronald Reagan. Then, yeah, because she was able to fucking put her thumb up everyone's ass without anyone even noticing it. It was like really bad, and you still got to deal with it. And you look at Pence and what's that fucking asshole from Michigan? What's her name? That fucking sack of shit. What's her name? That blonde one, the education lady.
DeVos.
DeVos. Yeah, man. Fuck
Illinois.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
and
sucks.
They. I mean,
we're
like,
just gonna rip on.
Yeah.
Full administration for the rest of this. Politics hour in Sun Cinema.
They probably got Nancy Reagan bro tattoos.
Dude.
Like, fuck both of them.
I know. It's just like smile, this like considerate little nod to people. Oh, we really care about the well-being.
I was watching an interview with her last night on 60 Minutes from a couple of days ago, I guess. And it reminded me of, you ever seen Class of 99 with Pam Grier?
No.
Yeah, look up Class of 99 with Pam Grier. Right. And it's about educational reform. It's called Class of 99. It's made in like the early 90s.
Okay.
But it's like post-apocalypse.
Okay.
But like they send in robot killer teacher android people, and Pam Grier is one. And it's all about like, you know, you want to do drugs in school, then you'll do all the drugs in school. And they find something, they, you know, put like,
yeah, load them up.
Mouth. Yeah, load them up. I mean, like, had ODs right there. But like, an overdose in the early 90s is like stuff coming out your nose.
Sure,
like,
totally.
You know,
you're frying. Yeah.
Yeah.
What year is your brain
from?
On drugs.
You got it right there. What year is that from?
It's from 1990.
1990, yeah.
Yeah.
That movie's great. But that's exactly what I thought. I was like, ah. You just said it's cool for teachers to carry guns.
Yeah,
you just said that. She says that. She says she's like yes, and like that, and like she's talking about cutting public schools.
Hey, as long as she can like teach creation in some wacko school,
who cares what guns you got? Yeah,
we could take funding away from public schools.
So, yeah,
so I wonder what the hell. How's film gonna respond to this? Like. Last year, we get these real inclusive stories. You know, we just did the Oscars. That's like our first year of Trump film. But I'm wondering, is like the medium of film like gonna respond to this well? Or are we gonna buy into it the same way we did with Reagan and make softcore jabs and be funny and make fun of it, but then just kind of buy into the big story?
Yeah,
I think.
Or are movies over? I don't know.
I think that that politics has finally outdone us and is starting
totally.
To. Base itself on movies. Like Trump is essentially basing his administration on Machete. He's building a wall around Mexico, which is what they were doing in Machete. And the devil, whatever her name is Devon?
DeVos.
DeVos. DeVos, yeah. DeVons? DeVons?
DeVils?
Whatever. DeVils. She is trying
Cruella
to,
DeVos.
She's trying to put robots with guns as the teachers into schools. Into those poorer and poorer public schools.
That's like, but I was wondering the other day because I was like getting down this dark, dumb hole of like reading this Adorno take on popular culture and media and popular culture and how art can't be achieved as long as there's poverty because we don't have enough free time to even get to dissect art and enjoy it properly.
Ouch. Burn.
Can't quite figure it all out, but he essentially like predicts Trump from the 50s saying that like the US is weird. It's going to be a media figure if fascism ever happens. We're kind of into TVs here. So then fast forwarding to now, like looking at popular culture and how Trump is just kind of taking the reality show thing and turned it into all politics. And it's like, can't we just vote on who we're going to watch on TV for the next 4 years? And then separately pick a person who's going to like kind of run economies and politics and rules. Because I get it. Like, yes, we're drawn to this Trump guy. We got to watch the entertainment. It's
so
absurd.
So you
absurd.
Think we should vote for a hype man?
Totally.
Not the MC.
Yes.
Okay, I
exactly.
got you. Yeah.
Like,
right on.
We
cool.
could pick the skanker from the Boston's, we can pick him,
yeah,
but we can't pick the lyricist.
Yo, I'm totally into that. That's a really good idea. If you actually say if a skanker actually runs, a skanker party. If there's a skanker party, then yes, I completely support that.
I think we're ripe. We're about ready for a skanker party. I don't know. What else do we got to talk about? We got a couple minutes, right?
But I do think that I am curious to see where film and art and music are going, because I definitely see more rappers, especially when it comes to like music, more pop music, that they're so openly against Trump. Inversely, there's also because of what this country has done to people like myself, that there's also a decent amount of pride associated with the gross materialism of Donald Trump. And you see that also in songs. Like, my favorite song pre-election was by Ray Strummer. They're two brothers. I want to say they're from Mississippi.
Okay.
And they had a song called Up Like Donald Trump, Up Like Trump.
Uh-huh.
Where they talk about balling. They talk about, like, they have, like, you know, they're gold, nice cars, and they're on TV, and they're having sex with prostitutes, and, you know, doing all this stuff. And they had a song called Up Like Trump, and that was, like, one of my favorite songs to play. Because it was just preposterous to me at the time. That, like, and also, I'm guessing to these children, because they weren't, their first voting year was last year, or 2 years ago. So, they had this song, and so I'm sure it resonates completely different with them now. But yeah, Donald Trump was like also a sign of self-made. It's all a facade. All of it's all a facade.
Or the like indulgence of late capitalism.
Yeah, the indulgence of capitalism.
Let's cut
to
this clip from Method Man's Tical 2000 Judgment Day.
Hey, Method Man, this is Donald Trump, and I'm in Palm Beach, and we're all waiting for your album. Let's get going, man. Everybody's waiting for this album.
Queens.
End of message.
That was a full track on the Method Man Tical 2000 Judgment Day record.
Damn, okay.
The title track from that album had a really, really good video.
Yeah, it did. That's true.
Yeah, he's the only member of Wu I haven't seen. He's the only Wu member.
You've never seen him?
Yeah, I've never seen him. Damn. I've seen Wu. I've seen ODB. But I've never seen, I never got to see Method Man.
Shit.
I guess he's still around.
It's not never yet. Yeah, with ODB it is.
With ODB, yeah. I got my one chance.
Do we got any other sound? The Trump, talking about this, like, he's a self-made man. I mean, do you think that in this song they're kind of acknowledging the ridiculousness of it? I mean, seems like aware of that. Or do you think they're really into it?
Like, I think it's, I mean, I can't say.
Okay.
I mean, if I had the opportunity to be a rapper, the things I would say, like, you know, just to be like, I wonder what I could get away with. People are stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone's buying my record. I just said I love the devil. Like, I mean, it maybe these artists, it's irony to them, you know.
Sure.
But maybe it isn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm noticing in popular music there's a little bit more of a challenge in a real way than what I'm seeing in movies
recently. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you've been getting that a lot lately as well, but
a challenge in a more productive way, like really dissecting your own thoughts, what your own place in it, what everyone's place is in it. I mean, it seems to be kind of bringing up interesting ideas, either ignoring Trump or instead of strictly addressing him. Or with that case.
Yeah, right? I think what Trump, this presidency, this administration has done for that certain types. I'm talking specifically about like rap music and shit like that.
I don't think so.
Is that I think police murder and police brutality is up at all. I do think that because of information technology, we get to see it a lot more. And I think with an administration like this so vocally being against everything that's kept all Americans down, But openly so to members of the population who aren't WASP, essentially.
Yeah.
That it's aware to these artists. Like they let that be known. They let them know that, like, yo, man, the cops are killing us. Yo, like, they're taking away our health care and they don't care.
Yeah.
You know? That's why you're hustling. That's why you got to get by. Because, I mean, no one else is, like, the government isn't looking out for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a framed, that's at least giving you something to understand why everyone's working on stuff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. In arts and film, it still blows my mind in this country how little is given to that community to survive, you know? I don't believe that Europe is necessarily comprised of nations that are infinitely better than my own by any means. But it's wild to look at movies from the 50s and 60s and realize that in the 50s and 60s and since, it's been paid for by the government.
Oh,
it blows my mind to talk to, like, the director of Houseu. Like, I saw him speak in Philly. He's just every movie I made has been paid for by the government. What are you talking about?
Sure.
I was like, really? Like, you make bizarre movies.
Right.
It was like,
they'll fund it.
The idea of, like, I mean, I'm not, don't quote me on this by any means, but, like, movies like Daisies.
Sure.
Like, if not partially, completely funded by, like, you know, grants and things like that.
Totally.
No, I mean, government grants.
Yeah, when we get rights for the, or at least Morgiana, when we got that, I mean, we're working directly with the Czech government, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, you're right there. There's just, like, kind of more public funding for it. Fuck Trump. He's not funding movies enough. Czechoslovakia knows how to fund movies.
Come on now.
DeVos is an asshole. She's going to teach our kids creationism, and I guess
then shoot them.
Yeah, and then we teach creation, and then put them in the ground. All right, have a good week.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.